We're starting off a new series entitled, I Will. Give God a praise for that. Now, I Will, the book I Will is talking about the nine traits, amen, of a church. Our attitude about church, amen. Turn to them and say, attitude towards church. Amen. And sometimes our attitude about church or towards church, it's not biblical. Am I right? You and I fight spiritual warfare all the time, right? And when we studied the same writer, we studied this topic. We studied before we said, when we studied, I am a church member. We talked about what's called a church with a country club mentality. What's a country club mentality? Anybody remember that from the study? What was a country club mentality? What's a country club mentality? Go ahead, sister. Right. I want to be served rather than to serve. Right? So, if you have the right biblical directed attitude, you can experience joy in church membership. So in other words, what we're going to do throughout this book, we're going to learn that coming to church should be more than just you doing something every week, right? Yeah. Amen. Come on, somebody. You know, I mean, more than that, right? And so the first thing we have to lay down as a foundation for our study is, what is the church? Anybody know what the church is? Why can't we just get saved and stay home? Why do we have to? What is the church? Why is the church so important? And then being a member of the church, right? What are the attitudes I ought to have? Right? Worship, fellowship, service. Amen. The word of God. Okay. So I want somebody to read the introduction for me. It's a long introduction, but I want you to read it. Get the mic over here for me, and I want you to read it for me. Whoever's going to read, mine can hear it, who don't have a book. Who's going to read? Yeah, I see somebody going to read. Ah, goodness. I think you got to turn it on.
A tale of a joyous church member. Her name is Heather. Heather is a single mom with three kids, two boys and a girl. The ages of the children are 5, 7, and 10. Heather is concerned about her children because of the divorce, because they are struggling in school, and because they are failing to obey at home. Yet she has not taken them to church in more than 3 years. The divorce was messy, but then again, divorces are not neat and joyous situations. When Dan and Heather split almost 4 years ago, Heather decided to leave the church. Her ex-husband was staying at the church with his soon-to-be wife. It just would not work for Heather to be around them.
That sounds like some drama right there.
So she left Resurrection Community Church, and she has not returned to any church for more than 4 years. Heather's friends and family sympathize with her regularly. Poor dear, you lost your husband, many of his friends, and the church you love, some would say. And Heather nodded her head, receiving the condolences with quiet acceptance. It's okay with her if they feel that way. But Heather has a secret she has confided to no one. Yes, the divorce was incredibly painful. Yes, so much of the change for her and the kids hurt deeply. Still, she has told no one the full story. Heather was glad to leave Resurrection Community Church. Indeed, she had become really miserable at the church long before the marital problems began. Leaving the church was one of the blessings of her life changes. It was a big relief.
Stop right there. That ever happened to anybody? Church can become overbearing. Church can become what? Miserable. Church can become, you can become resentful. Church can become routine. Right? You know what I mean? We can be going through the motions week after week, but Heather had a problem. Heather was glad to leave church. Amen. All right, go ahead.
In order to understand Heather's sentiments, we need to take you back about 12 years ago. That was when Dan and Heather were married. They bought a home where Dan was working, and they both made a commitment to get involved in a church. They mutually decided it would be Resurrection Community Church. That's where this story begins. I am not a happy church member.
Yeah, for a minute. How many of you are not happy as church members? How many of you have been unhappy as church members? Right? Can I ask a question? What was it? Not being properly fed. Okay, good. I see what you're saying. You took it personal when the pastor was speaking, and then you're like, oh, he's talking about me. Every time I tell him something, he's going to put it across the pulpit. You know what I mean? Yeah, we take, you know, believe it or not, we take it personal. Listen, when I go to L.A., I hear preaching. Sometimes I'll be like, mad. I'm like, man, what's wrong with this guy, man? He's talking about me again. You know what I mean? It happens to all of us. But you know what the beauty of that is? The beauty of that is the fact that you know that God, you have a connection to God. And God has a connection with you. And not only that, but God knows all about you. Too many what? Favorites and too many cliques in the church. We're going to talk about church now. Amen. Anybody else? How about you? And see, you in church and you lying. Just shut your mic off for a minute until you speak it. Say what? Yeah. So you took it personal, right? Amen. And we can do that, right? We can take stuff personal. Amen. And we can think that the pastor is what? Picking on us, right? Or we can think, you know, sometimes I, you know, when I'm preaching, sometimes when I look at you, don't take it personal. I'm thinking, you know what I mean? But my eyes just happen to glance on you. You know, if I say something, amen, don't assume that I'm talking to you. Amen. But if it fits, if the shoe fits, then what? Wear it. You know what you ought to say? Ouch, amen, or thank you. Ouch, amen, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you found me in my mess. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? tell you something. Are we recording? Okay. Okay. Say it again. People online said they can't get on. Okay, all right. Boy, Satan is always busy, man. He's always tinkering with stuff. He's just like this annoying child that just keeps messing with stuff. I'm serious. You ever had the terrible twos? I think Satan is stuck at 2 years old. Seriously, he's always tinkering with stuff. You know what I mean? Right? So Matthew 16. Let's look at it. Look what it says. It says, let's just read from verse 13. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, now watch this. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, let me say this to you. This is a very important question as a church member. Now, we're going to get back to Heather real quick, okay? But Heather's issue was she was invited to church. It was convenient. It was a convenient place to be, right? You know what I mean? She'd gotten married and things like that. But my question is, you know, when we choose a church, do we choose a church for the elements that we're looking for, amen, and for the Christ-likeness that we look for, amen, in the lives of the people in the church, or do we just judge it by the pastor alone? And 9 times out of 10, we judge it by what? The pastor alone. I think the better way that we should do it is to look at the lives of the people in the church. Now, I know that not everybody's, you know, you got a bad apple in every bunch, right? But listen, if your life, I look at Chris from when he started to where he is now. Amen. Give God a praise for that. Amen. I believe summer camp changed his life. This is a kid that you probably would have overlooked, right? Amen. But he called me. I told him, you ain't going to camp. He called me. He's like, Pastor, listen, please let me go, please. You know what I mean? He took the initiative, right? And that's why I don't believe that we should give up on people. You know, as a church, we have to understand that we operate as a unit. We are a team. If one member suffers, all the rest of the members suffer. You follow what I'm saying? And so we shouldn't. But here's the thing. Satan sometimes gets into our minds, into our thoughts, because we don't have the full armor on. Amen. We haven't protected our minds, and he infiltrates our minds with thoughts that are not godly about the church. Has it ever happened to you? It happened to me. Look what he says. He says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This is a very important question. And they said, some say John the Baptist. And others what? Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah and one of the prophets, right? But see, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Listen, if you're going to be an I will member, you have to answer this question. Who do you say that Jesus is? See, because a lot of people have a lot of opinions about who he is. Listen, he was not Elijah. He was not one of the prophets. He was not John the Baptist. He was God. And that's the starting point for our commitment, because when we come to church, we're not coming for pastor. We're coming because we know who he is. And we trust. You know, I was just telling my class this morning, last night, I said, listen, if the members are sending me away to a conference, when I get there, I'm going to do the things that the church sent me to do. I'm not going to be hanging out, riding down the boulevard. You follow what I'm saying? You know, doing things that I'm not supposed to be doing, because guess what? I don't even, listen, we are a unit. We glorify God, and you entrust yourself to a pastor who will feed your soul, and you got to believe that the man of God, amen, is who he say he is. But guess what? You got to watch his life. Watch his life. You can tell by his actions, his reactions, and his words. Are you with me? Listen, but I will say this. I ain't got it all together now. So, amen. Ask my wife. She ain't got it all together. Okay, I got problems. Amen. Sometimes I feel like a hypocrite. Sometimes I feel like I'm falling short. But guess what? Through it all, God's grace covers me. And he gives me the ability to keep leading a church like this. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. Amen. Because watch this. Watch this. So the important question that you must ask is, who do you say that Jesus is? Right? Now look at verse 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 17. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now watch this. Your revelation, amen, about Jesus is important. But who reveals it to you is even more important. Come on, somebody. Can I ask you something? Are you living on somebody else's faith, or have you tried Jesus for yourself? You see, the church is designed to help you, amen, to get to that place where you're stronger in the faith. That's what the church is supposed to do. It is the pillar and supporter of the truth. Now watch this. Watch the text. The text says next. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, first of all, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. He says, but my Father who's in heaven, right? Verse 18, I say to you, watch this, that you are what? You're what? Peter. Now the word for Peter, amen, because his name was Simon Peter, but Jesus called him Peter, right? Now, the word Peter is where we get the word Petros. The word Petros means a pebble or a stone, all right? He says, you are Peter, Petros, and upon this rock. Now, there are a lot of names for Jesus. Some know him as a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Some know him as a bridge over troubled water. But what Jesus was saying to Peter was, Peter, and I'm saying this to you, you are Petros, little pebble, and I am Petra. A boulder. Listen, a massive rock. So here's the thing. We build the church upon that rock. You build your life upon the rock. You have to understand who you are, and you have to understand what the church is. The church is a rock. Come on, somebody. The church is your rock. You are the pebble, he is the rock. The church gives you a firm foundation to stand on. Amen. And listen, if you are a I am member, that's not going to mean anything to you. But if you are I will member, that means a whole lot to you. Because when your life, I said this last night in my class, when you're going through the storm, you ever notice through scripture, right? You always see this one running theme through trials. It, consider it all joy. Now, how in the world can I rejoice when my world is crumbling down? Are you with me? The Bible says, exalt God in my tribulations. How can I exalt God? See, because here's the problem. The problem is when you're standing on sand, and you're not standing on the rock, you start sinking. But here's the worldview you need to have when you're going through. You ready for this? In everything that you go through, you must ask God, how can I give you glory through this? See, your problems are designed for you to give glory to God. You are to glorify God. Now, what does that mean? I asked the class last night. What does that mean to glorify God? In other words, to let God shine. Listen, we don't give up as a church. We don't give in. Amen. We don't pack up our bags and go home. We don't do that. Listen, we don't close the church doors. Listen, I found out yesterday about a pastor who, man, listen, I said, man, God, listen, they were blessed. They were in a little storefront church. And God blessed them with a building. Matter of fact, the guy told him, you can have the building. You tell me what you want to pay a month. A whole church already set up everything. And this particular pastor decides that he don't want to do church no more. So he leaves the church and goes to the world and gets him a job. All these people that were following him by faith, they lost their faith because he gave up. I want to tell you something. Don't you give up. You're a church member. Listen, you're standing on a rock. That rock is Jesus. And when you know who he is, if you think he's John the Baptist, you're going to sink. If you think he's Elijah, you're going to sink. If you think he's one of the prophets, you're going to sink. But if you know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then your foundation will be firm and you will not going to fall. Are you with me? He says, you are Petra, I am Petros. Watch this. He says, and I will build my church. Now, I got to catch a few things right here. Who's building the church? Listen, when God sent you here, he knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. God is building Division Church. He says, this is why we have to be very careful that we do not lose focus of what we're doing, because if we lose focus as to what we're doing, we can start thinking that we're the one building the church. Are you following me? He says, I will build whose church? That sounds like a personal pronoun to me, right? God is saying what? My church. It belongs to who? Me. Him. And listen, what is a church made up of? People. Church members. And listen, and sometimes you can think, you know, every team has a losing season, but not the church. Because watch what he says next. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. Listen, sometimes it seems like your foot is to the fire. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you feel like it's fit. Listen, sometimes you just have a hell of a day. Come on, somebody. You had a hell of a week. Hell is all over your week. Hell is all over your life. But listen, you got to remember who you are. But if you lose your joy as a church member, you will never see past where you are. You are part of something. You and I are part of this church. We're part of something great. Listen, he says, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Now watch this. Watch this now. Now when you're a church member, watch this. You get keys. You say, what are you talking about? Keys means power. Whenever you give a person the keys to a building or something like that, they done moved up a little bit in the food chain, right? They got keys to the building now. Amen. Watch this. It means access. It means authority. It means that you have power. Because look what the next part of that verse says. First of all, you got to remember that no matter how bad it may look at as a church, may I say this to you? This ain't going nowhere. We're not going anywhere. We may have to tabernacle from place to place like the children of Israel from tent to tent, right? You know, they moved over. Listen, Rick Warren, his church moved 106 times before they bought a whole community. Come on, somebody. All right, so listen, there's nothing too hard for God. God owns the cattle in a thousand hills. We have to worship here so that God can build our faith so that in the future when we get what he wants to give us, come on, somebody, we're not going to have the big head. We're going to remember the days that we came in and there wasn't no AC. Days we came in and the bathroom wasn't working. The days we came in, amen, and we had to, you know, search for things and the lights went out and all this other stuff. See, that's all part of building your character. See, moving chairs all the time. Yeah, we, you know, I don't know how to act at the school now. We walk around like, man, what do we got to do now? We got nothing to do. That's a first start. That's a first start. Come on, yeah. Yeah, let's thank God for that. Because for 12 years, amen, 13 years for seminary, I've been moving chairs, putting up tables, breaking down screens. Come on, somebody. Finally, I can walk out and leave the projector there. Come on, somebody. Y'all can't rejoice with me, but it's all right. It's all good. Amen, that's right. Wrapping up cords and... It's coming. It's coming. Listen, it's coming. But see, when you have keys, look what he says next. What does he say next? Yes. What did he say? And I what? Listen, as a church member, you got keys. Start this series here. Got keys. I got access. Got access. I can sit in my prayer closet and I can call on God. And guess what? He gonna hear me. Stuff is going bad. I can open my word. And guess what? Before, I didn't even know what the word was saying. Now I can open up the word and I'm like, wow, is that what that means? Wow, that's deep. You follow what I'm saying? Listen, I was reading the other day, and I in my prayer class, I'm like, man, how many of you know this about the 7 days of creation? How many know what God created in each day? How many can name each one in order? You follow what I'm saying? It's important to know that. You know, you know what I'm saying is. See, we went to school, right? And the school that we went to, right? What did they teach us? Darwinism. That we evolved from what? A monkey. Are you following me? But when you have keys to the kingdom, you understand in the beginning God created heaven and earth. The earth was formless and void, and the waters was upon the face of the earth, and darkness was all upon it. And then God said, let there be light. The first thing that God does for you when you come into the kingdom is he gives you light. When he created heaven, he gave you the S-U-N. When he sent his S-O-N to give you light, come on somebody, then the light was permanent inside of you. So the S-U-N was good, but the S-O-N was better. I wish I had somebody. See, and that light is in you. Why? Because Christ lives in you. See, I believe we have to stand up and say, I'm proud to be a church member. Seriously, I've been a part of a lot of things in my life. Amen. Toastmaster. I done joined Boy Scouts. I didn't make it in the Boy Scouts, so I only made 2 days in the Boy Scouts. They didn't want me in that. It's like, this young man don't listen. He don't listen. You know what I mean? I don't. You ever try to get, frequent flyer miles? I get mad every time because I'm like, every time I call in, they're like, man, you hadn't reached there yet. You're about 20,000 miles. I said, what I got to do? I just flew the other day, right? You know, but point is, it's always something. But when you're part of the church, you're part of a sure thing. Are you following me? You're part of something sure, because watch this. He says, and the gates of hell will not open. He says, and I give you keys to the kingdom of what? Heaven. Watch this. Watch this now. And whatever you what? Bind. On what? Shall be what? You know what that word bind means? To take prisoner. The only reason why my problems is overpowering me is because I'm not using my keys. See, what I'm not doing is I'm allowing my circumstance to overpower me when, watch this, when I ought to have power, watch this, from the Holy Spirit, amen, to overcome whatever seems to be overpowering my life. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose where? In heaven. In other words, what he's saying is that you and I have a direct connect to heaven. That heaven agrees. See, sometimes, in other words, what he's really saying is that you have supernatural power. But you see, it's hard to believe that. Let me tell you why it's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe that when your world is falling apart. It's hard to believe that when things are going, you know, a different way in your life. But I want to tell you something. I want you to look at your trial now, and I want you to ask God, God, how can I give you glory through what I'm going through? Because watch this. The moment that you allow your problem to overpower you, knowing that you have keys to the kingdom. Listen, you have... goodness. You have keys to the kingdom of heaven. You have keys to the kingdom of heaven, so that whatever tries to wrap you up and tie you up, amen, whatever circumstance come, you can bind it in the name of Jesus. You can say to that trial, you can say to that situation in your life, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to say this to you today. Sometimes as church members, we think that we're on a losing team, but we're not. Trials make you better, makes you stronger. But if Jesus said that the gates of hell will not overpower the church, come on, somebody, and you're part of the church, then why are you defeated? You are the church. We are the church. Right? Let's get back to, what's her name?
Heather.
Heather, I'm sorry. Let's get back to Heather right quick. I'm sorry. Yep.
From Heather's perspective, Resurrection Community Church was an easy choice. Ben and his parents had been members there for many years. The church had about 250 in worship attendance. Obviously, Dan knew most of the members. The church members were friendly to Heather as well. They accepted her immediately. After all, she was now part of Dan's family. Heather really did not have to do much to get involved. Within a few weeks of joining, she was asked to be in the women's Bible study to help with the church finances since she was a certified public accountant, and to be a greeter. When the children came along, it was pretty natural for them to connect in the church as well. Dan and Heather had many good relationships in the congregation. Some of them were young parents with children of similar ages to Dan and Heather's. So she began church life just fine. Her attitude was great. Her relationships were solid. Her involvement was good. She had trouble remembering exactly when the change took place. It was more gradual than sudden.
That's how your attitude changes in church. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens very subtle. Just over a period of time, you start feeling a little sour.
Heather, just a few years later, had become an unhappy church member. There was no one negative event. Indeed, she barely noticed the change day by day. Heather does remember waking up one Sunday morning with the dread about attending church. When did these feelings develop, she asked herself. Why am I no longer a happy church member? This story is Heather's story, but it can be repeated in the lives of church members by the millions.
Say this also. People are falling out of church rapidly today. Unhappy church members. I mean, there are people that are just tired. They're not experiencing anything, you know, great. And if they are experiencing something great, it's all emotional. You know, once the emotion wears off, right? The question is, will your faith wear off? It's a good question, isn't it? Right? So she's unhappy. And I hope that, you know, maybe I hope that you're not an unhappy member. But if you are, tonight is a good night to take a look at that and say, hey, listen, I'm going to move from an unhappy member to I will member. This is real honesty right here. All right? Go ahead.
The attitude shift. Depending on your perspective, you should say that Heather had an advantage. She did not have to wait or seek permission to get involved in the church. Through Dan and his family, she had immediate connections and immediate acceptance. It was as if she had been a member of the church for years. It was fun for her at first. She loved all the relationships she developed in the church. The members were good people. They took care of one another. Heather did not attend a church business meeting the first 6 months after she joined. The church treasurer, though, asked her to attend since she would soon become the assistant treasurer. She needed the background and the experience. She thought it was strange to have a business meeting every month, but she honored the request. The meeting was nothing like she expected. The treasurer gave his report, and 6 or 7 church members asked questions about almost every dime of expenditures. Then the pastor made a presentation to change the worship time from 11 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. His logic was sound. The 11 o'clock time was really late, and it had no obvious benefit. It was just the way the church had always done it. The opposition was pretty intense. The pastor politely suggested that the change might appeal to younger families who were not members of the church. They often prefer to eat before noon, especially if they have children. Betty, a long-term member, was quick to speak. I don't know why you're always talking about people who aren't members of this church. This is our church, and our needs come first, she said without hesitation. The pastor heard the chorus of amens, and he saw several heads nod affirmatively. He knew the issue was dead. He took the idea off the table. The pastor would leave the church 8 months later. He barely made it to his second anniversary at the church. In the past 20 years, the church has had 8 different pastors. Only one pastor made it to 4 years of tenure. Heather would soon fit in with the long-term members. From them, she learned that church was mostly about getting her needs met. She would often join the chorus of critics when anyone suggested change in the church. Though she would not admit it or articulate it, she really began to view the church as a religious country club that was very careful about letting outsiders in. You see, Heather joined the church expecting to make a difference. She became a part of the congregation, expecting to give and to serve. This was where she found true fulfillment. Sure, Heather's church experiences were enjoyable initially. She enjoyed at the onset being a part of the club where she was included and others were excluded. But that self-serving behavior and attitude provided no true fulfillment. When she woke up one Sunday morning with dread and angst, it was the culmination of months of a haughty attitude and selfishness. It was the result of being inwardly focused instead of being outwardly focused. It was analogous to the child who eats too much ice cream and gets sick. It was all about her needs, her desires, and her selfishness. Heather was spiritually sick, and she felt it. So when the divorce was finalized, leaving the church was the easiest thing to do. She never told anyone how relieved she was to get away from such a self-serving place, and she had no desire to go back to church. She was done. Time to return to the body. 4 years passed. Heather was getting restless. The intense pain of the divorce had eased, and she knew something was missing in her life. She realized that as a believer in Christ, she needed to find a church to connect with other believers. For certain, she needed to get her kids back in church. So the single mom became an unchurched person looking for a church home. Heather began her quest with high hopes, but they were soon dashed. She told her neighbor, "None of the churches have their acts together. There are obvious problems in all of them," she observed. She reluctantly agreed to a visit from a pastor and his wife from a church she and the kids had visited three times. From her perspective, that church was the best of the bad choices. But Heather would be ready for them. She had the perfect article to show them. Jordan and Megan, the pastor and his wife from the church at Fountain Hill, arrived promptly at Heather's home. After exchanging pleasantries, Heather spoke. "Pastor Jordan," she began, "let me get to the bottom line. I have been out of church for 4 years. I have visited a ton of churches with a good motive to return. Frankly, though, I can't find a decent one to go to. The church at Fountain Hill is the best of them, but your church has its problems." Jordan and Megan were patient and kind. You could tell they had heard similar stories. Megan spoke. "Heather, what have been your bad experiences? I think it would help us to know some specifics." "I thought you might ask," Heather responded. "I saw a blog post this week called The Top 9 Ways Churches Drive Away First-Time Guests. I made a copy so you could read it. I have experienced every one of these 9 ways at the churches I've visited." Jordan and Megan read the blog post together. The author was brief and to the point.
Right, and number one was what? An unfriendly church? Unsafe and unclean children's area? No place to get information? These are things that we need to look at. Bad church website? Poor signage? We don't even have a sign out this evening. Do we have a sign outside that said Vision Church? Not tonight. So we're not having church tonight. Insiders what? Church language? Boring or bad service? Members telling guests that they were what? In their seat or pew? Amen. And a dirty what? Go ahead.
Jordan had actually read the article early this week. It was written by an obscure blogger who gained a lot of attention with that single post. But Megan spoke first. "Heather," she began, "that's a good article. We leaders in churches can certainly heed its message. But you could be viewing the church the wrong way. Maybe you should not be asking what you can get out of the church, but how God would have you serve through a church. Instead of saying, 'I want,' consider saying, 'I will.'" Heather was obviously agitated by Megan's comments. She tried to maintain her composure, but she was clearly bothered by those words. The exit of the couple could not have come sooner. Why did those comments bother her so much? Heather wondered after they left. "Am I really that sensitive?" The I Will church member. Heather slept.
Stop. You can stop right there. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Heather slept fitfully that night. She kept hearing Megan's words. "Instead of saying, 'I won't,' consider saying, 'I will.'" At one point, she opened her Bible. She had just begun reading through the book of Philippians. This time, these words from Philippians 2, 3 through 4 jumped out at her. "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Oh, my goodness, she muttered to herself. "That's it. That's why I was so miserable at Resurrection Community Church. I focused on my wants and needs. I did not focus on serving others." Heather also realized that she had been very critical and picky of churches she had been visiting. She was looking for her wants instead of being willing to say, "I will." She returned to visit the church at Fountain Hill. Her perspective was totally different this time. She knew that no churches were perfect. There would always be room for improvement. But now she would, in God's power, serve others first. Her own personal motto became, "Don't say I won't, say I will." Heather joined a church with her children. She became a joyous church member. Her life became a testimony of I will. She served with a sacrificial spirit. When other church members frustrated her, she committed to pray for them and forgive them. After all, Christ did that for us at a great cost. It was the least she could do. Even more, she became an I will church member without feeling legalistically obligated or burned out. When she served with joy.
Sis, thank you very much. Thank you, sis. Give Heather a hand. Give Sis Alicia a hand for reading. Right? She got her act together, right? She realized it wasn't about her. And I believe, and I want to say to our leaders, you know, if you've been called to serve, that's what you've been called to do. Not you. You're not the one to be served, but you have to serve, and you have to look at it as what I'm doing in church. I'm doing it as a service, and I'm serving God. Amen. Rather than getting taken from the situation, I'm giving back to God. Whatever you do in the church, you're serving God. So here's, I want to give you five things tonight that will move you from a I am to I will member. The first thing is, if you're going to move from a I am to a I will, is that you must be a unifying member. Unity. All right? Unity is essential. Amen. All right? For a sports team to operate, right? For businesses, for families. Amen. You need unity. Am I right? You know, the Bible talks about unity in different places, but I say this to you tonight, that we have to be a unifying church body. Now, unity requires some things, all right? So I want you to go, let's go to Ephesians. My goodness. Well, before you go to Ephesians, let's go. Hold on 1 second here. Let's go. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22. And I want to show you, you know, unity here. Watch this. So unity requires some things. Humility, gentleness, patience, acceptance of one another in love. If we're going to be unified, we have to be patient with people. You know what I mean? You know, as a pastor, you got to be patient. As a leader, you got to be patient with the process. I'm very patient. I got a lot of patience. I had to learn that, okay? Because I wanted things done, wanted done right away, but it don't work like that. And then if you want to run people off, then you demand them to do it, and you become a dictator, right? But look what he says. He says, wives be what? Huh? Subject to who? Like, what's this got to do with church? It has a lot to do with church. Wives be what? Subject to what? Your own husband. As what? As to what? As to who? See, you're not submitting because he tells you. You're doing it because you're doing it as unto the Lord. See? This is why it's important as a church member, as a leader, as a church member, whatever you do it as unto who? The Lord. Do it like you're doing it for God, not for you, or not for anybody else. Watch verse 23. For the husband is the what? Right. The husband is the head of the what? The husband is what? The head of what? It's funny, all you non-married people sure know how to quote scripture. The husband is the head of the wife. leadership. Watch this. Now, watch this now. This is the part I want to get to. See, if you have a problem with the church, right, then you got a problem with your headship, with your leadership. You have a problem with Jesus. That's what it boils down to. Look what he says. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife as what? Christ also. Who's the head of church? Who? Really? So you can tell by the way we, wives, the way you submit to your husband, you can tell the way you submit to Christ. Amen. Amen. Husband, same thing. Because you have to submit to your wife also. But watch this. Mutual submission is what it's called. But check this out. If you have not submitted yourself to Christ, then how can you be the head of a woman? Who's directing you to lead her? Where are you getting your worldview from? Where are you getting your ideas from? Where are you getting your ideologies from? Where are you getting your philosophy from? Your theories of life? If Christ isn't your head, and if he isn't governing your life, then you can't lead anybody out of a paper bag. And watch out for the people who be faking. See, if he knows Christ, guess what? He definitely going to be in church. And not only will he be in church, but when he gets home, guess what? He will lead you, amen, according to what he has learned. Come on, somebody. Listen, watch this. He says, as Christ is the also the head of the church. Now, I want to conclude something here tonight. Every time you walk into the church, you got to remember who's the head. This is why we come up with guidelines on how you don't just come in church with your head on. You know what I mean? You come to church knowing that Christ is here. He's the head of the church. If he's the head of the church, if he is the head of the church, and because he is the head of the church, then we ought to respect the church. Then we ought to do our best to promote the church, and we ought to do our best to add to the body of Christ, because guess what? He loves the church. Listen, Jesus is crazy about the church. I'm going to say it one more time. He's super crazy about it. You know why? Look at the next part of the verse. Watch what the text says. He himself being what? The savior what? Of the body. Now watch this. If you have a church, and if you are a church member who cannot submit to the church, and especially if you're single, then guess what? You don't want headship. You don't want leadership. Because in actuality, Christ is your head. Same thing with married people, right? Husband, Christ has to be your head, leader. And then you can lead something. Just because you provide doesn't mean you lead. Amen. Just because you're bringing home the bacon doesn't mean you are head of your home. Now you're running something. You're running something when Christ is your head and you're running for Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's right. When you're running for Jesus. Now watch this. Watch this now. He himself being the what? Savior of the body. He's the one of the body? Savior. Who's your Savior? See, may I say this to you tonight? You cannot say that he's your Savior if the church isn't important to you. Why? Because he's the head of the church, the Savior of the body, and if you have a problem with the church, then you got a problem with Jesus. And the reason why people don't want to come to church anymore, because they don't want to submit. And because if you're going to live for Jesus, it can't be about you. See, Heather learned something. It wasn't about her anymore. She got the revelation from the Word of God. She was critical, But then she was converted. Come on, somebody. Because she understood that it's not about me. So why do we come every week? We come so that we can meet our Savior. We can be instructed by our Savior. God wants you to hear this tonight. He does. He wants you to know that I'm your Savior. You can turn to whatever you want to turn to. You can turn to the lotto. You can turn to jackpot. You can turn to whatever you want to turn to. But guess what? He will always be your Savior. Scratch offs and all that kind of stuff. Christian, scratch. I'm like, first of all, that's gambling. Listen, you take that money, right, and you put it in church, you get a sure thing. You get a sure return. Amen. Now, if he's the Savior, because, I'm just not if, because he's the head, because, see, here's the thing. Many of us, we grew up without structure. I'm talking about something now. We grew up without structure, or we rejected structure. We had structure, but guess what? That's why sometimes when I tell people, say they get mad at me. They're like, shoot, Pastor tripping. He tripping. Now, I ain't tripping. What I'm doing is I'm holding you accountable to the Savior. You follow what I'm saying? That listen, this is how we do things. You follow what I'm saying? And if you have a problem with the way things are done, then guess what? You got to ask yourself a question. Do you want a Savior or do you want a sucker? Because Christ ain't no sucker. Guess what? He's for real. Some women want a man they can push over. Uh-oh. Some women want a man they can tell, hey, go get that, go fetch that. You find what I'm saying? They don't want no strong man. You understand what I'm saying? No godly strong man. You find what I'm saying? Who's going to stand for what's right. Baby, that ain't right. You see what I'm saying? That ain't right. And listen, don't let him get in church. Okay? And when he does get in church, guess what happened? She started tripping. You didn't spend too much time at church. What happened to our time together? Seriously? I was a heathen. Listen, did you know where I was finna lead you? Do you know where I was finna lead this family? But then I met Jesus. Come on, somebody. Now, I got a Savior, and I'm following my Savior, and I'm leading you. So, baby, you better get in check and follow. Some men like passive women. Some men want women. They can say, hey, go do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, they want a woman they can push over all the time. They want a woman that they can pretty much run over and tell whatever. Yeah, I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? I'm finna go get some milk. I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? Did you cook for me today? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying some men want that kind of woman, right? And y'all women talk about, shoot, yeah, I ain't gonna be that. Yeah, but you're the main one to get got. You would cook and say, you ain't never cooked before till you met him. Amen. Talk about not me. I never cooked for a man. And then you got God. There's always somebody for everybody. I want to tell you something. And whenever you think you ain't going to get got, you better watch out. You're going to get got. But I'm going to say this to you. If you want someone that's solid over your life leading you, they have to be godly. So what happens in a lot of churches is, a lot of churches, people don't want Jesus as their Savior. You follow what I'm saying? He's the Savior of the body, right? But watch verse 24. Watch what he says. But as the church is what? Subject to Christ. See, it's a mutual submission. So it's not that so when you come into the presence of God, you got to remember that Jesus is your Savior. If you're single, you shouldn't even be, listen, your focus should be, Pastor, what can I do? What do we need to do? Let's get the church going. That's the only thing that you need to be focused on. Right? Because guess what? He's your Savior. And as married people, he says, listen, you got to take care of your wife, but then you also got to take care of your obligations in church. But here's the thing. If a man is leading you and he has no Savior, he has no leadership over him, then what is he doing? He's doing it according to his own understanding. He's making up the rules as he goes. You follow what I'm saying? He's trying to show you how to do it, but he doesn't even know what he's doing. He's winging it. But when a man or a woman could submit themselves to Christ, then you got something. Now you're working with something. Now you're working with something. And here's what you're working with. You're working with a person, amen, who shows humility. Watch this. As a I will member, moving from an I am to a I will member, you have to be what? You have to be a what? A unifying member, right? But watch this. I want to show you something. Look what he says in verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wife ought to be to their husbands in what? Some things? Everything. Well, he told me to just submit to you. When it's convenient, you know, in certain things. This is why I say, if you're making a step for marriage, you got to consider what you're getting ready to do. You're giving up your rights. Amen. You're giving it up. Okay, but here's the thing. If you're giving it up to a godly man, who does not abuse that. See, this is not to be abused or to throw up on you. You're supposed to admit it every time. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like that. You follow what I'm saying? It's not like that. You follow? It's called mutual submission. As the church is subject to Christ, as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be subject to their husbands and everything. But look at verse 25. Husband, see, notice the Bible does not call the man to submit, but it calls the man to love. And one of the hardest things for men to do is love. One of the hardest things for women to do is what? Submit. And that's the truth. Right? Watch what it says. Husbands, love your wives just as... Watch this now. Now, so I want to show you three pictures here. First picture is Christ is the head of the church. Write that down. Second picture is Christ is the Savior of the church. Third picture is the church is submitted to Christ. Are you with me? And the fourth picture is Christ loves the church. Listen, you're part of something. You know, when we were doing I Am a Church Member, I thought we had gotten that. But as the months and the weeks went on, I noticed how kind of just faded off. So you got to, we're giving it one more shot. I'm going to move from I am to I will. I'm going to promote unity. You know, wherever I see this unity in the body of Christ, guess what I'm going to do? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to what? I'm gonna try to be a unifier, right? Now watch this. What he says. So look what he says. He says, "Husband loves your wife as love your wives, just as Christ has also loved the church. He loves the church and gave himself up for her." So here's the other fact about the church. The church is a female. Yep. It depends on the time of the month. Some of y'all are tripped. Anyway, look what it said. It said, as Christ loved the church, and what did he do for? He died for. You need to write that down. I hope you got a new perspective of church, man. He gave himself up for her. But look at verse 26. The reason why he had to die so that he might what? Sanctify her. So here's the thing. Here's the other thing you got to know about the church. When Jesus died for the church, what he did was, the word sanctify there means set apart. Listen, you can go to the mosque. You can go to the prayer room. You can go to Vatican. You can go wherever you want to go. Christ didn't die for those things. He has set you, every one of you. You're special. He set his church apart. Apart from what? The world. See, but if you keep thinking that you're nothing, if you keep thinking that, you know, that there's nothing more to do in life, there's nothing left for you, I want to tell you something. You've lost hope. Christ died for you. It took blood. It took sacrifice. You know, I said something today. I think I was talking to sister. I said something today. I said that just like Jesus, God had to go through the pain of allowing his son to go up to the cross. The pain. That was painful. But he had to do it so that we would be sanctified and cleansed. Look what he says. He says, so that he might sanctify her. You got to do something. Amen. It took work to get where we are. He sanctified us, watch this, having cleansed her by the washing of what? Water with the word. Verse 27, that he might present to himself the what? In all her glory. Having what? No spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Let me say this to you. We have to start talking about holiness. Listen. If you're not living holy, it's a problem. Holiness is important to God. Now, we're not going to get it right all the time. You know what I mean? We're going to, you know, that's what grace steps in. You know what I mean? But at least try. At least try to be holy at some time. You know what I mean? Try it sometimes. Set yourself apart because Christ did something for you that's powerful. He says, holy and what? Blameless. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. You know, if you don't love your wife, then you don't even love you. That's deep. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this passage is because the relationship that we have to Christ is like a marriage. Listen, you can't just start today and then quit. Listen, I've seen people who don't commit. They hang in there for a little while, and like Heather, they start dwindling off because the love affair is over. See, they were infatuated at the beginning. They were mesmerized by Jesus. And then when you find out that living with Jesus takes work, yeah, you got to maintain that. Listen, after you get married, after the wedding comes the marriage. And then you find out you got to wake up with this person every morning. You follow what I'm saying? You got to live with them. You got to cope with their habits, and you got to cope with their you know, their deficiencies, and, you know, there's some good things about them too. But the point is, you're like, dang, I didn't know he smelled like that. I'm just saying, you find out some things like, man, I didn't know she looked like that in the morning. So what happened to your eyelashes? They were long when we met. What the world happened? And don't pull out the hair now. Lord have mercy. You're like, is that the woman I married? See, and that's what happens to a lot of people with the church. When they get into the church, right, they're like, shoot, I didn't know it was like that. And that's why we have to be a unified church. What we cannot do is give people surprises. You follow what I'm saying? When they come, they're like, shoot, I didn't know that church was like, yeah, I mean, you know, there's churches, I mean, just all twisted up, right? Let me give you the other couple things here. Number two, if we're going to be an I will member, move from I am to I will, we must be a sacrificial church member. Amen? A sacrificial church member. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. What a great start to this series. And I got to quit now. I'll give you the rest of them and then we'll pick up. Look what he says next. He says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also what? Who, although he existed in the form of God, see that? He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, he wasn't prideful. He says, but what did he do? He emptied himself. Sometimes you have to, listen, sometimes you got to press your way through. It requires sacrifice sometimes. Listen, let me say this to you. If you wanted to get saved and just stay in the world, then you wasn't going to stay saved very long. I mean, you're saved, but I'm saying you would not have, you will not, let me say this, you will not experience, watch this, the fullness of salvation. So quite naturally, the church has to provide activities for you to do, like women's fellowship, like going out to San Marie Hostel, like, you know, doing things together as a church family, because this now becomes the place where you come together with people of the same mind. And sometimes it takes sacrifice. Are you with me? Look what he says. He emptied himself, taking on the bondservant, being made in the likeness of man, being found what? In the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming what? Obedient to the point of death, even death on the what? Cross. It took sacrifice for the church to stand. And it takes sacrifice if you're going to move from an eye. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. What have you sacrificed to be a church member? The next thing is you have to be a prayerful church member. You have to be prayerful. The next thing is you have to be a joyful church member. Not a GCM. A grumpy church member, but a JCM, a joyful church member. Amen. Tonight, I want to leave you here by saying this. It's time for us to move from I am to I will. Give God a hand clap of praise. I want you to read chapter 1 of your book. Amen. And when I come back, amen. Remember, I'm leaving for Los Angeles on Sunday. Amen. And I pray that you all, next Tuesday, Deacon James will be doing Bible study. I want you to come. I want everybody to come on out and support. Amen. Support him. I'll be watching online. Amen. From Los Angeles. But I want to say to you tonight, maybe you need to look at your church membership tonight. And maybe you want to say, Pastor, you know what? I want to be an I will member. Maybe you've been saying, I am, I'll be there, I am. You know, I am, I'll do it. You know, I am. But you want to move to be an I will member. And you need to be a unifying church member. You need to be a sacrificial member. You need to be a prayerful church member. Because that's all part of it. And today, maybe you want to say, Pastor, I want to submit to Jesus.